Okay, so this is Sammy Sass with the Oral History Summer School. We are in the Solaris building at about 4 o'clock on Monday, June 27th, 2016. I'm sitting here with Sharon Roos. And Sharon, can you go ahead and introduce yourself?
My name is Sharon Yates Rouse.
Okay.
I live at 534 Washington Street in Hudson. And I've lived there for approximately 18 years now.
Great. Thank you.
I work at Columbia Memorial Hospital, and I've been there for 33 years, and I was born and raised here in Hudson. My husband's from here, and we've been married to be 38 years, July 22nd, and we have a 35-year-old son, and he lives over in Earlton, New York, over in the mountain. And he's also married, and he has one child that is 6, soon to be 7. So, I like our little town. There's a lot of history here if you go way back into the time of Hudson, since I can remember. I always tell everybody I'm 39, but I'm really going to be 58. I've been 39 so long, I have to think about it. But anyway, when we were kids, just the main street alone was like totally amazing. There was like mom and pop stores everywhere. There was grocery stores. I'm trying to think now. There's probably 1, 2, 3, 4, probably about 8 or 9 just grocery stores. And, you know, everything was in walking distance. We always had the train station. Bliss Towers was never here. The terrace apartments on Front Street were never here until later on in the archives of Hudson, but there was a lot of factories here at the time. We had a lot of sewing factories. We had a big pocketbook factory that the pocketbooks were sold in Manhattan for quite a chunk of change, I guess, back in them days. We have a little lake here, and everybody in Hudson learned to take swimming lessons there. We all became lifeguards one time, and I used to go to a private school. I didn't go to Hudson City School District until I was in high school. St. Mary's Catholic School. There was 2 buildings at the time on 3rd and Allen Street. And then they closed the high school, and then the grade school burnt down. And then eventually they had to close the grade school also because of financial. But then I went to the Hudson City School District. I belong to St. Mary's Church. I was baptized there. I was married there. I don't know what else to really put into it. My parents were not from here, though. My mother was from a little town called Castleton on the Hudson. And my father was from Scaticote, and he ended up here because his parents lived on a boat, and they would come into port here. And they would register some of their children here, and some of them they didn't. But they ended up living here eventually because this was the closest to the port for my grandfather. And that's how they met here. My parents did not. My mother and father met by a strange incident. My father was the Department of Public Works supervisor. And one of his workers was mentally challenged, and he missed his train to go home. And he lived in Castleton, so my father took him home. And he kept saying to my father, come meet my neighbor. And that's my mother. So, yeah. They both have passed away. And I have 8 siblings. Only 2 live in this area now. The rest have either passed away or moved to other areas of the country. But I have, I can't even tell you how many nieces and nephews I have now. I want to say it's like 23 nieces and nephews. And probably 16 great nieces and nephews. So we have a big family. And my husband's family is also from here, this area, so. And my husband would have to be my brother's best friend, and that's how we met. Yep. But otherwise, that's about. I love working for the hospital. It's a small community hospital, and I've always liked it. I love to take care of the community itself. I'm also a CPR instructor, for American Heart Association. And I'm also a safe sitter instructor. And that's all through the hospital. But I do that to the public, you know, for the public. Matter of fact, I'm going to be teaching a firehouse in a couple weeks, CPR. So I also belong to a firehouse. I'm an auxiliary member at Rogers Hose. And my husband is also a fireman at Edmonds Hose. And my son also belongs to Edmonds Hose to this day. So, but I volunteer at the Salvation Army now and then. I haven't been able to lately, but before I used to only work 4 days a week and I always volunteered there, but I work 5 days a week now, so it's kind of hard. I try to go to our school and volunteer. But that's about it. I live for my grandson now. So, I don't know. That's about it. Hudson's changed so much, though. It really has. You know, I can remember when we were little at, if you did something wrong, you have to worry about no cell phone, no internet. Your parents knew before you got home because you knew everybody. And Hudson was like, the Italians lived downtown and the Irish people lived like in the middle of Hudson and the rich lived uptown. That's how it used to be. But then, like I said, all the times have changed. I can remember when Hudson was, there was nothing on Warren Street. Once all the stores closed and the businesses closed, it was like a ghost town. And then all of a sudden, one day, the antiques came in, and now Hudson is booming again, which I'm glad to see. I'm really glad. Get to meet nice people like you. Yeah. And the armory, that used to be an actual armory. When we were kids, my father belonged to the National Guard there, and we played there a lot. So now to see it as a library, it's really a beautiful building. They did a beautiful job on it. I can remember the high school being built. There's, like I said, there's a lot of factories in Hudson at one time. There was a place called the Glue Factory, L&B. There was a lot of clothing places that made clothes. And like I said, the Pocketbook Factory. And we did have a lot of cement plants at one time. I really don't miss them, but I can remember my father's car. You could never get the cement off of it. So, and then there was a place called, well, these were a lot of them in Greenport too, but the Universal Match, a V&O Press, there was a Canada Dry Company. I mean, there were just so many businesses, but once everything started closing, they started closing, the businesses started leaving. But I think now it's back on the right track. I don't know what else to say.
It's so, as an outsider and someone coming into Hudson, I mean, it's beautiful to hear about the history, so I appreciate that. I'd love to hear more about what it was like when you were growing up.
Nothing like today, you know? Like my parents would say, there's eight of us, so my mother probably didn't know what half we did, you know? But I don't think you had any worries back then, you know? We used to go, like in the summertime, my parents would send us to the playground, and we'd go to the playground, and we took swimming lessons every day. We'd come home for lunch, and you went back to the playground, and you better had to come in at a certain time, or you missed dinner, or dinner wasn't, you weren't fed. And you knew to be in the house by the streetlights come on, you know? And that's why we liked the summer, because you got to stay out a little later. But things were so different when we were kids. Like, you know, we respected our neighbors, because if you didn't, you were in big trouble when you got home, and you knew it. You know, and I don't think, you know, a lot of kids today, I blame their parents, but, you know, but that was growing up, as it was totally different, you know. You know, that's like I said, today kids have cell phones and all that. They don't want, they're missing out on. They have no imagination. You know, we used to play, even in the winter, my parents would have to drag us in because it was so cold, but we never wanted to come in the house. You know. I can remember there was eight of us, so, and my father died when we were little. And, you know, when our parents told you to go to your room, there was nothing in your room. You had a dresser and a bed. Not like, I'm a guilty. My child did, you know, had TV, whatever. But I just think it was a whole different world back then, in the 60s. Just totally different. Talk about 60s, I can remember Woodstock, too, so. I don't remember a lot about it, but I do remember it. Yeah. And my father died. We were all young, and he was the fire chief of Hudson. When he passed away, he was sick, I think, for 6 days of his life, and he was dead on the sixth day. But they found out he was full of cancer, so it was a blessing. Now that I'm older and know what the medical world's like, so but it was a blessing that he's gone. And my mom, she just passed away maybe about 5 or 6 years ago. And when my father died, she had a little child. She only had an 18-month-old, so it was, she kind of like let us be a little more free, but not far, you know. We knew our boundaries, but like I said, things were just so, so different when we were younger. Nothing like today. You know, I said a lot of kids today don't know how to play jump rope, or they don't know how to play hopscotch. They don't know how to play, you know, hang-go-seek or nothing like that. They just don't. They live on their computers, and that's one thing I can say about my grandson. He has an iPad and all that, but he's only allowed a half an hour. I think it's every other day or something, so he has to go outside and use his mind. That's what I think kids are missing out today. And you always had, you had so many friends because there was just so many kids that lived in your block. And that's basically kind of who you hung with. So there was this girl I met. We were probably in high school, and her name is Latricia Franklin. And we work together today, and we're best of friends. And we probably, like I said, like probably, I'm going to say about 40 years we've been friends. And it's, she was born and raised here also in Hudson, so it's just great to, you know, have somebody that you, her and I were, that's how we started this conversation. Her and I walked up Warren Street one day, and we said, do you remember when that was the A&P grocery store, and do you remember when that was the First National grocery store, and things like that's how this whole thing started about how Hudson has changed so, so much. Yeah, I can remember, I don't know, you don't know that much about Hudson, but where Bliss Tower sits right now, that was Chapel Street. And there used to be a big dump down there, and that's where the city garages were, stuff like that. And we went down there a lot because of my father. He took us down there as children because he worked there, and that's where we went. But trying to think. A lot of people don't know there's a reservoir in Hudson. It sits on the top of Hudson. And if you go up there, it's the most gorgeous view you ever want to see. So you get to go up there one day, just go up there and look at it. You can see all of Hudson. You can see the river. But now that they had a lot of trouble with 9/11, they have now locked off the reservoir, so you can't actually go where the reservoir is, but you can go up there on the street. And that's up on the by the hospital hill. I can remember when the hospital was, oh, I was going to say a quarter of what it is today. Now they've built on and they added the new garage and the new office building. As a matter of fact, their plans are to build more on to the other side of it so soon. There used to be nursing homes in Hudson. There was Eden Park Nursing Home, which was across the street from the hospital. They have now since closed. There was the Martin residence down next to St. Mary's School. That was more like for adults that could take care of themselves but actually needed a little supervision. And then there was, trying to think of the name of the place that's on Union Street, and I can't, the name's just not hitting my head, but they just closed recently. And that building is now for sale. I can remember movies coming to Hudson. They would come and film here for weeks on ends. I can remember when Hudson Correctional was now a state prison for men. It was a girls' training school when we were kids. All the girls were there, and they used to come out all the time and get in trouble and, you know, stuff like that. But they were there for a long time, and then the girls' training school closed, and the state turned it into a men's prison. As a matter of fact, now they're changing it into a kids' prison. They're in the process of that right now. There are no inmates over there right now that I know of, only the work release program. And I think they said by November it should be all 16 and 17-year-olds in there. I can remember a sad part when our church is closed. It was Mark Carmel closed and Sacred Heart. And we all went to St. Mary's, and I felt really bad for them people. So it was really a hard time for them to close their churches. I can remember when there was a lot of schools in Hudson. I'm trying to think of how many schools Hudson City School had. There was the Allen Street School. There was a school on 6th Street, which still stands there today. There was two schools on 4th Street. There were the junior highs. John L. Edwards. There was Charles Williams down on 3rd and Robinson Street, and that building still stands. And then there was the Hudson High School, which is now the middle school, and then they built the new school. And now there's only three schools left. Oh, and there was the Greenport School and Clark School also in Stockwell. That's how many kids were in Hudson at one time. And like I said, there was two, the Catholic school, there was a grade school and a high school too, and they were awful. But I think once St. Mary's closed and all the other smaller schools closed around us, and now I think they want to close John L. too and move all the kids up to the bigger schools. What do you think? I can remember some horrible fires as children. When the glue factory burnt up, there's glue all over Hudson. Always have a candy factory. And that stands right now where Providence Hall is. I can remember when that burnt. And we also had a bad fire one time. I remember as a child up at Pitchers, and that's where Hess Gas Station is today. I think the holidays were a lot different when we were kids, too. Only, like I said, because you could trust people more so then than you can today. Like Halloween, you couldn't even get the kids. The kids on the street were just so many of them, you couldn't even see the streets. And Christmas was totally different, I think. Working at the hospital, I've met a lot of people over the years. A lot of them that work at the hospital were born and raised here in Hudson. Still a lot of people here that never just left, or their families just stayed here, and they stayed with them. I can remember when Co-Arc was on 4th Street, 4th and State Street, and that building, I think they ripped that down, but they were there for a while. And then they went out to Mellonville. But I think the amount of grocery stores had were amazing. Let me see, we had Sam's Supermarket. We had two Grand Unions, the A&P, the First National, and then we had all kinds of mom-and-pop stores all over the place. And I don't think we have maybe a handful of them today. I can remember when the firehouse was closed. I think it all became one, the brand-new building over on 7th Street. We have a very good youth department, I think. They do a lot for our youth. It's just too bad that more kids don't get involved in it, but they still have a very good program, I think. Matter of fact, they have swimming lessons all summer. They have soccer. They have fishing derbies. They have baseball. They name it, they do it. Basketball. And that's kind of built up over the years because, like I said back then, you just went to the playground. You didn't have what they call a youth department that I can remember. I can remember a lot of the mayors over the years. My parents told me about Diamond Street. That was way before my time, but there was a area in Hudson, Diamond Street. There's a very good book about it if you ever wanted to read it. A very good book. Matter of fact, when they came in and busted it up, the state troopers, I think, came in and did it because half the Hudson cops were involved in it. It was all prostitution. My mother had just moved here when that all was being broken up, and she told us about it, but I don't remember that. And I think that was on Columbia Street between 3rd and 5th. What else? Back in the day, they said it was a big whaling port, but that was way, way before my time. I can remember when The river today was never like it was. The boat launch is all fairly new. When we were kids, there was big, huge oil tanks down there. And we took all of them down now, made a beautiful park. We have no more dumps. We used to have a lot of dumps. We used to have a dump down the street, and they capped it off finally. I'm glad of that. I'm trying to picture myself coming up through the streets of Hudson. A lot of the churches used to have, I guess they remember Mark Carmel used to have all these big church festivals for different, you know, saint days and stuff like that. They did that a lot. They had a lot of the things like that. Let me see. I always have a big factory down on Front Street called X-Tile, and they used to build boats and rafts for the government. That was there for quite a while. And they left. I can remember the Hudson Terrace being built, like I said. And I can remember, like I said, the tanks were taken out. They weren't taken out so long ago. I'm going to say within the last 15 years they were taken out, the big oil tanks. But they were empty for years and years and years. They were not used. But that's a beautiful park down there now. Where the new police station is going now on Union Street, they're remodeling it. They used to be a big gym. That's one thing we don't have in Hudson anymore is a gym. We used to have a couple of them, but they're all gone. I go to CrossFit down on the old L&B factory. That's fun. But that's an old building, too, the old factory. And now that when CrossFit first went down, there was nobody in the building, but now there's a lot of different people had come into there, like a lot of antique dealers and things like that. A computer place, I think, is down there now, and I think our U-Haul place is down there. There's quite a few places in that big building. But I'm really glad to see Hudson has come back to life, because it was really sad to see it just go down to nothing. So I really can thank the Antique Association for bringing Hudson to life. I think the hospital has brought a lot of people here. They brought a lot of physicians from all over the countryside. I can remember one of our doctors came here as a local attendum. It's like they're travelers. And he was from Seattle. And he just loved this area. Loved it to death. And him and his partner stayed here. And they've been here for quite a few years now. And they own a business on Warren Street. And he still works for the hospital. And he sits on the board. So I said, Hudson's not all that bad. It's a really cute community, I think. I've gone other places, and there's no place like home. I always say that. No place like home. Some of my brothers have moved away, and two of them, and they said that they don't miss it here, but they miss the people. So, but I'm trying to think.
What has it meant for you personally to see Hudson change so much?
Oh, it means so much. It just does. To see Hudson go as a ghost town, and I mean it was a ghost town. There was nothing on Warren Street, hardly anything. And the people that were left on Warren Street, you figured they would never survive. And like I said, to see, it started out with a few antique dealers came, and then before you know it, almost everything on Warren Street was antiques, which was fine, brought people to Hudson. And just to see it come back to life. And that's just what it was. It was like it was a dead town, and it came back to life. And it really and truly has. You know, like, they have a winter walk, and the winter walk is so much fun. It's like, that's how you get to see all these little shops. You know, a lot of them you don't even know they exist until you do the winter walk. And it's always the first Saturday in December, and everybody knows that. And But it was just, it meant a lot to me to see it come back. Because I figured, my child's not going to stay here. There's not going to be nothing for him. And that just devastated me. Only having one child, I thought, I'll be moving out because I'm going to follow my child somewhere. I don't know where. But thank God he works for the state, and he don't live that far from us now. So it really meant so much to me. It really and truly did. Yep. So I figure I'm born here, I'll be dying here too. Yep. You know, this may sound morbid, but I love walking through the cemetery and looking at all the old stones, and because some of them you could read so much history about people. You know, back then they wrote what they died of and stuff like that, and their whole entire families are there, and it's just so, so amazing to see. It's like the man that Edmund Soa's firehouse is the oldest in the country of volunteers. And that man left so much history. It's amazing. So amazing to see. And he's up in the cemetery. There's a big thing up there. And it's amazing just to walk through the cemetery and look at the old stuff. I mean, I just love it. You know, you think people were back here that long ago. And you look at the names, and there's still the names that are still here. You know? I don't know if that's every little... I imagine it's every little town, but... Like you said, I'm very thankful that Hudson came back to life. Very, very thankful. Or I probably wouldn't have a job today, neither. Because the hospital would never stay in existence. There's no way. So, because there was a hospital across the river. Catskill did the same thing. Their town just went down to like a ghost town, and their hospital ended up closing. And I could see us going the same route, but like I said, thank God Hudson came back to life. Mm-hmm. Yep. And they do so many things today. It's like amazing. Yep. Matter of fact, we were just talking about the Hudson bed races. I know that sounds crazy, but back in the day, they said take the beds or stretchers or anything and make a bed out of them, and they would race them down the street. So, of course, you know, Facebook, social media, somebody puts on Facebook, let's start the bed races back up. So, of course, I kept complaining that I didn't know the new mayor at all, and I kept saying, oh, she's not going to do nothing for this town, and blah, 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 blah. So anyway, when they said this about the bed races, I said, well, instead of running my mouth, I'm going to try to start volunteering for the community once again. So I'm on the committee now. So the bed races are in September. So we're bringing something back to life that happened in the 70s. So we shall see how this comes about. And most of the people on the committee are not from Hudson. There's maybe... I drug one of my nephews because he also ran his mouth too. And so I said, no, you're going to volunteer too. Let's go. And there's maybe... four of us that are from Hudson, maybe five, but the rest are from, you know, transplants. That's what we call them, transplants. And hopefully it all works out well. So we can't wait to see that. I think it's the last Saturday in September we're having it. So, and it's going to be right on Warren Street. So we'll see. You know, the only difference is between the 70s and now, we have to have rules. We have to have insurance. You know, what the heck? But back then we didn't do that. So, so I'm glad that's coming back to life. As a matter of fact, we're just looking at some other things too. So I said, maybe we could do other things as time goes on. See how this works out. So a lot of people said they're going to do it. So we shall see. We'll have to invite you back September to see the bed races.
That sounds great.
Yeah. So, see, I think it brings people into Hudson, you know. Because the Winter Walk does, and like they just had the Pride Parade, they bring people into Hudson, and they have the Big Flag Day Parade, that brings a lot of people into the town. Some of the shop owners are never happy, but they think they're closing the street off, but that's not the case. Yeah. Another thing in Hudson, too, now, on from Friday night to Sunday night, you cannot park on this street, Warren Street, you cannot find a parking spot. So that's a good thing. Brings people into our community. And get to meet people like you. Yep.
Yep. I'd love to hear about working at the hospital.
Well, I started there. It will be 34 years in April. I worked the night shift as a nurse's aide, and my husband got a job in New York State Corrections, so I had to go off nights because I could not have a babysitter to watch my child all night and all day. I said, that's crazy. That's no sense even working. So a job came in the operating room. It was part-time from 9 in the morning to 2:30 in the afternoon, so they gave me the job, and I've been in the operating room ever since. I now work full-time. I've been working full-time probably for 30 years of that 33. I've seen a lot of administration come and go. I don't mean it in a bad way. When I first went to work there, our administrator was very athletic, and I always say his poor dog killed him. He was running, and he dropped of a heart attack, and the dog won't let nobody touch him. So as we always say, the poor man's dog killed him, just because he wouldn't let anybody touch him. He couldn't do CPR on him or anything, because the dog was really, they said, nasty about it. And then we had a few people in between, and we really didn't get to know them well. But then this woman came along. Her name was Jane Ehrlich, and she was from Connecticut. And she turned our whole entire hospital around. And she brought also our current CEO, Jay Cahalan, right now with them. And the both of them really and truly did an excellent, excellent job. I love taking care of people because I feel that sick people are so vulnerable, and especially more so in the operating room, because they're put to sleep and they trust your life in your hands. I think we have an excellent crew in the OR. I would put my family's life in their hands because I see how they take care of people when they're asleep, and they respect everyone. So I really and truly am very proud to work at Columbia Memorial Hospital. A lot of people don't like our little hospital, but I love it. I think it's a great place. We just went affiliation with Albany Medical Center in Albany, so a lot of people think they're going to take us over, but our CEO guarantees us that's not going to happen. That they're just there to kind of help us out, and we can help them out in, you know, different ways. I've met a lot of people through the hospital. I think the saddest thing about working there is people come on vacation and they end up sick, and you just feel so, so bad for them. They have no one. A lot of times young children or young adults are there on an internship, or they're there for doing a lot of things, and there's a big camps over them out, and they end up so sick, and they end up with us, and they have nobody. So we have to be their family and their caregivers, you know. And I think that's who I feel the worst for, when people like that come. And always it's young people that always breaks your heart when they die, or because I had a young sister die at a young age at 39 of cancer, and so I kind of like, I was heartbroken with them. But the hospital, like I said, I've met a lot of nice people. And if you went up there, the majority of people have worked there so many years, it's phenomenal. Just my best friend and I, myself, we were just talking about that, almost 70 years between the two of us. I said, that's a lot of years. But there's a lot of people up there that just, we used to have a school of nursing, and that closed years ago, so the college now teaches nursing. But like I said, so many people we've met. Like I said, the patients are the most important thing to me. And, you know, then you see them in the street, and because I wear scrubs and a hat, and people look at me and say, do I know you? And sometimes, you know, with this new HIPAA law, you got to be really careful what you do. So I say, I don't know. Do you know me? And they'll say, you look so familiar. And, you know, you don't want to say to them, well, you had surgery, but, yeah, so what you usually say to them is, well, I work in the hospital. And they'll say, oh, that's where I know you from, stuff like that. So I got to know a lot of people through that way. You know, and like I said, you become family to some of them. And my favorite are the elderly. They really and truly are. I love the old people. I always have, and I just think they're so sweet to take care of. I mean, some of them can be very mean, but when you look at some of their situations, you can understand why they're that way. But they're still, and this community has a lot of elderly people. There's a lot of elderly here in Columbia and Greene County. So, and since we really cover Greene County too for the hospital, we get a lot of elderly people. But otherwise, let me think. I get a lot of vacation up there. I get like 8 weeks off a year now. So that's kind of nice. I love to travel, so. Of course, the operating room, we do all the C-sections, so we always get the joy of the babies. And most hospitals don't do that. The OB unit doesn't, but our hospital's so small that the operating room staff does the C-section, so we get to see a lot of new life sometimes. And like I said, our hospital is so small that you basically know everybody that works there. Somehow you always, you know, you meet them today, but you'll always remember who they are. We do have like 1,500 employees, though, because now we have a lot of clinics, so then people I kind of really don't know that well. But so Columbia Memorial is the biggest employer in this area.
How did you become a nurse?
I'm not a nurse. Okay. No. I'm what they call a multi-specialty aide. I take care of the rooms, I take care of the instruments, take care of the patients, help with the patients. And our latest thing is we help with anesthesia. We learn to stock, at the time we learn to stock all their drugs. We take care of all, everything for anesthesia. We like make sure everything's there for them for their procedures. That was interesting learning. Yep, that's what I've been doing for 33 years. But the anesthesia part, we just started not too long, about 6-7 years ago. So that's different. We learned a lot. Learned a whole lot. But I've always worked, all but 6 months, I've always been in the operating room. And that's, it's a whole different world in the operating room than it is on the other units. I mean, you still take care of patients, but they don't talk to you. They're sleeping. Most of them, majority of them are sleeping, so you got to learn to take care of them in a different way. You know, learn to respect them. And, you know, say for an example, if you want it to be rotten, you could leave somebody laying completely uncovered, completely open. And that's one thing I got to say, our little hospital does not do that. They make sure everybody is totally respected like it's yourself. And that's one thing I think why I'm more proud to work at our hospital, because I know they do that to everybody. They don't, any shape or form, ever disrespect anybody in the operating room. I don't care if you're poor, rich, white, black, pink, purple, it don't matter to them. They treat everybody like they're their family. And that's one thing I do. I really and truly respect. And then like I said, when my sisters, I have two sisters that both passed from cancer, but I seen a whole different world when I took care of them. They were in hospice for about, my one sister was only in hospice a few days, but I truly got to see their nursing at a whole different ballgame compared to what we do. And I know she, and my sister also worked in the one that was sick. She was a nurse. And they treated her just like she was their family. Well, she really was, but they really did treat her so well. So I got to say, I love our hospital, and I ain't going anywhere till I retire.
Can you tell me a little bit more about your family?
Let me think. There's eight of us. And my parents had the six of us real close in age. Matter of fact, we're laughing because this year we're all even numbers. Let me see. My one brother will be 56, 58. 60, 62, and 64, and 66. And then I have two younger siblings that were like, we don't know how they come along, but they're like 5 years different from us. My oldest brother lives in Tennessee because his daughter moved there, so he kind of moved down there to be by his grandchildren. And then my second oldest sister, she died of cervical cancer. And she died young too. She was like 50, I think she was 56. And she was there. She stayed in Hudson right till she died. And then my next sister lives in Hudson. She works for the Hudson City School District. And then, no, that's my, and then my brother. My brother, he worked for Hudson Correctional for years, and he retired. And then there's me. And then there's my brother, Jeff. He lives in Conway, South Carolina. But he also worked for New York State Corrections in Hudson until he retired, and he wanted to go where it was warmer. So he lives down there. And then my two younger sisters, my one sister was 39. She was a nurse. And she passed away of pancreatic cancer. And then my sister under her is also a nurse, and she's also a dialysis tech, and she does live in the area. She lives out in Churchtown, but she does live in the area, and she works for a dialysis center. So kind of like medicine, most of us stuck with it. Except my one sister that works for the school district. She don't want no part of it, none of it. She sees blood and she's sick. Yeah. And like I said, I think I got 23 nieces and nephews, and then great nieces and nephews. And I can tell you about my sister that passed away. She had a child in high school. She was a 16-year-old mother. And she dropped out of school, ended up going back to school, had three children before she was 18. Went back to school, became a nurse. And like I said, she got sick and passed away. She had a child that had, she was 15 and also had a child. So she was born before this. She died. And I said, Debbie, you got to stay in school. She goes, I'm not staying in school, Aunt Sharon. And she wouldn't. And she, lo and behold, ended up having two more children too. So she has three children before she's probably 20. Well, she finally woke up one day, lived here right in Hudson. Matter of fact, she lived down the projects because that's the only place she could afford to live. But she went back to school. Matter of fact, and hopefully in December, she'll have her master's degree. She works for social services. She's married now. And she just bought her first home. So she's done very well. So Hudson's done her well. But she ended up moving across the river. But that's okay. She still works here in Hudson. But I have a big family. My father's family was, like I said, a lot of them stayed here because that's where their parents came in on the boat. But a lot of his family stayed here, and their kids grew up here. My mother's family was not from around here, so they were all up in the northern part of the state. But yeah, there's a lot of, I have a lot of family when I think about it. So we do a family dinner once a month. Not all my siblings, of course, because they're not here, but second Sunday of the month, we pick a name, and that's who hosts the party, and you all bring a dish, and every month we do it. We've been doing it for like 4 years now. So that's nice. We get to see family, and they still. Matter of fact, one of my sister's kids just bought a house in Hudson. So they are staying, the young kids are at least staying here again. Yeah. They might not be able to afford the homes pretty soon because they're going out through the roof. But, you know, I was born on Fifth Street, and I laugh because I can remember my parents talking, and I think they paid $25,000 for their house. I can't imagine what they would sell it for today. I just can't imagine. Not in a million years. It's like one of the houses next door to us are for sale, and I can remember when the people lived there when we first moved there. They sold it for $60,000. And now it's on the market for $490,000. So it's like, that's one thing that floors me in Hudson too. In property. But it's everywhere probably. It's not just here. It's everywhere. But that amazes me. What the houses, the prices of houses are going for. So. I'm trying to think of what else. I can remember as a kid, St. Mary's School, the old school where it's burnt down. It's an empty lot now. And there was a playground in the back. And my father was really good friends with the pastor of St. Mary's. And he said to my father, my father worked for the city, and he said, you know, I wish we could get some tar for that playground so the kids ain't got to play in all that dirt all the time. So every time the city would tar and whatever they had left over, that's how St. Mary's got their tar playground. I can remember that as a kid. We would go down there at night and watch them do it. Him and the guys would take all the tar that was left over. I said, you would never do that today, but that I can remember. Yep. I could also remember, because my father was a Boy Scout leader, Boy Scout troops everywhere. Oh, there was a Jewish synagogue here, too, on Warren Street. The Jewish synagogue had a Boy Scout troop, and I think St. Mary's had one. A couple of the firehouses had them, so I can remember that, too. Now I think there's only one left in Hudson, so a Boy Scout troop. That was also a big thing back then. And I don't remember, like, brownies or anything, because my father, of course, was always involved with the boys, not the girls. What else? Oh, up by the reservoir, they just built brand new homes up there. So when you go up there, you gotta look at them. There was nothing up there ever before, ever. And now it's all those big condos up there. I can remember Power Avenue, and people lived there. And now it's, there's a couple businesses down there, but I can remember actual homes. And we used to call it, not one house was ever painted. It was all natural. We called it the natural world or something. All natural. Nobody's houses was ever painted. It looked all natural. But I can remember, I could pinpoint every house that was down there. And one person owned them all. I said, boy, if they were still there today, she'd get a fortune for them since they were so old. Yeah, I can remember that. That's when the girls' training school was still there. Let me think. There was always a lot of playgrounds. There's not many today. There used to be a playground down on Front Street for the kids. There was one at Oakdale. There was one at what they call Academy Hill. It's up on top of the cemetery. Matter of fact, if you walk up there, you can still see where the playground was. There was like, the kids joked and called it the cement pond, like the Beverly Hillbillies, but there was actually a cement pond up there. They would fill it for the kids to swim in. It was small. It was like, you know, maybe a foot deep, but you could still see some of the stuff up there. And then there was Charles Williams Playground. There was John L. Leverage Playground. There was playgrounds everywhere. And they used to compete against each other in August. The police department used to have a big field day, and the kids used to compete against each other every playground. But now I don't think there's that many playgrounds left. I think there's Oakdale, maybe. And I think John L. Edwards has one, and that's it. I don't think there's any more than that. But then again, there's not so many kids around. That breaks my heart, too, to think that there's not that many children, but because our school district is so big that a lot of the kids don't live in Hudson. They live out in the rural areas of Hudson, where our school district is quite large, so I think a lot of them live out of the, you know, out of the Hudson area. I can remember when the cement plants closed, like I said before, that was a blessing because I could never get the cement off my parents' cars. And my mother never worked when we were kids. She was always stay at home. And I think that's a big difference from today, too. You know, you always went home and your mother was always there no matter what. But I think the economy today has made it so you can't really be home. I can also remember, too, if we didn't go to church, you didn't go outside for the rest of the week. That was a strict rule in our house. And if you didn't go to school, you didn't go out of the house neither until you went back to school. So you better have not done it on a Friday, because you weren't allowed to go out of the house till Monday until you went back to school, or to go to Sunday on church, but I can remember when they built their brand new fireman's home. I can remember the old fireman's home. That's also, they have a big museum up there. It's a very nice place to go. A lot of history in there. That's of New York State, though, but it's still a lot of history in it. The Elks Club used to be on Union Street. That's a huge building over there. It's a beautiful building also. And it still stands. That's on 6th and Union. It's a really beautiful building. Hudson does have some beautiful buildings. They really and truly do have some gorgeous buildings. That's like the old library I heard they're going to restore. I don't remember, but that used to be an orphanage. I don't remember that at all. But my parents would talk about it. That was an orphanage. But I would love to see that building redone. It's going to be beautiful. I can remember the 911 building that's on 6th and, and I think now it's probation, 6th and State Street. That used to be a school. And then it was social services for a while. And now it's a probation department, I think. That's a building I don't want to know what's in it. We used to have car dealerships, too, in Hudson. Village Dodge used to be on Green Street, and don't ask me the other place's name, but it was a Chevrolet place where the bank stands today on Green and State Street. I could picture it like it was yesterday, but I cannot remember the name of it. And then there was a place called, they made stuff for cars too. Textile. That was a big factory there. And that is also like right where the bank is today on on State Street there, State and Green. There's also a Goodyear factory tires place there across the street for many, many years. See, but I think once all the stores started closing, all the businesses just or vice versa. I mean, once the businesses started going, all the businesses just went out. There's nothing here for them.
What does it feel like to be sitting here with me and remembering all this?
It's fun. It really is fun. It is. But like I said, a friend of mine, matter of fact, it was New Year's Day. We walked down Warren Street one way and back up the other side, and her and I were talking about all the buildings we can remember and what they were. And some of them, I mean, the drugstores too. It was like, you swear every other corner was a drugstore. And it's amazing to, if you could actually walk up Warren Street with someone that lived here that could really remember them, I mean, it's amazing. It's totally amazing what was on these streets. And it was Thursday night was the shopping night. And everybody was shopping on Thursdays. All the stores were open on Moore Street. The banks were all open. That's probably when everybody got paid, I would imagine. But yeah, I can remember going up with my parents. We'd go up the street. They usually went to the bank, so because there was 8 of us, we didn't have much. But we were always happy. I can say that much. We were always happy. We might not have much, but we were happy. And now that I think about it, we went to a private school, so my parents had to pay for that. So we couldn't have been too poor. We might have thought we were, but we weren't. But it is. It's fun to think back of Hudson, what it was. It really is. Matter of fact, we were talking about it at the bed races when we were getting ready to do the bed races. A lot of people are asking us different things. Because we're the Chamber of Commerce now, that used to be a firehouse. And they said, do you remember this being a firehouse? I said, well, yeah, that's not been closed that long. I just wish now I had, I'm a fanatic now with the camera. I never was, and I wish I was back when I was younger, but I wasn't. Because when my grandson was born, and he was a preemie, and I read a big article about you lose all your memories because they're in a phone or they're in a computer, and you don't have pictures. And if your computer crashes, you have no more memories except what's in your head. Then you're going to take them with you. So maybe more people, if they could get their cameras out, it wouldn't be like it was. But another thing, there was camera stores on Warren Street. There was Roll Studio, and there was a Kodak place. Yep. And shoe stores, all kinds of shoe stores. I think there was 3 of them. It's a lot for this little town, if you think about it. Yep. The good old days. They'll never come back, but that's okay. Time to move on. But I'm glad that Hudson is coming back to move on. Or otherwise, they would have been on the train out, I thought. You know, I don't think you would have seen anybody here if it wasn't for the Antique Association coming here. I really believe it would have been a ghost town. Truly would have been.
What do you think Hudson's going to look like as it moves on?
I don't know. I really don't know. I don't think you'll ever see it be modern. You know what I mean? I always believe that they want to keep it the old town that it is. You know, because you see when you see people painting their beautiful brick, and the city gets after them, and they really should. So I believe it's not going to be much different than it is now. I just don't believe it is. So you make sure you come, and I'll leave you all my pictures so you can see Hudson when I'm dead and gone. I'll come back from Boston to see him.
I'd love to see those pictures.
Yeah, I would love to see old pictures of Hudson, but yeah. Some people have them and some don't, you know. You know, my parents have pictures, but they never wrote nothing on them. So you don't even know, I don't even know who they are. These people, who are they? My family and I were looking through them one day and said, who are these people? I don't know. You know, yeah. You know, they're wedding pictures, but not much more than that. We could picture some of us as kids, but my parents never put any, and they're all in a big shoebox. You know, and that's what they did, I guess, back then. So my grandson, he'll be 7, and he probably has 20 photo albums from his grandmother. So, you know, I try to take pictures of him at least monthly now, but before it was daily, you know, when he was first trying to survive his life. But I would probably take 10, 15 pictures of him a day every time I went to him. He was born in Albany Medical Center, and that's how I started my, that's where I read the article, how people lose all their memories, so. And it's true. Now think back at it, it's true. Yeah. Because if you don't have pictures, your phone's not going to be here to. I just went to a high school graduation, and they said to me, you're the only one with a camera here. I said, well, that's okay. They were amazed that I was the only one that had a camera. Not very few people had a camera. So make sure you have a camera. Develop them pictures and write on them.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, in your lifetime, if you ever can do it,
yeah,
take a black and white photography class. Because that reminds me of Hudson Home. I took a class, and you had to take pictures of your town. And it's amazing how everything came out in black and white. And that makes you go back to when I was small. Everything was in black and white, and it does make you look at things differently. The beauty of these buildings and the whole beauty of the community, it makes you look at everything different, because you don't look at things in color. You look at things in black and white. I wish I could find my parents' pictures from the armory, just to see what it looked like back then. And I'm not sure where they even are, so. But the armory was totally different. You know, where the library sits right now, that was a gym. And you went downstairs, and that's where all the army trucks were kept. So it's amazing what it looked like then. But then the army was closed for a lot of years, and the building really went down the tube, so they did a beautiful job in redoing it. They really did. Gorgeous job. Because the army was closed for a long, long time before anybody did anything with it. Like I said, the ghost town is here. Matter of fact, them houses right next to it, if you look at the library, the houses to the right, they were all falling down around them too. And somebody had bought them and restored them. So that's another thing, if you just walk through Hudson and see the homes that were restored, to think they were just falling down. They really and literally were falling down around them. And people bought them and started redoing them. You know, we have this man here called the Gavin Foundation that owns the library, really. And a lot of people don't like him because he owns too much of Hudson, but he brought the buildings back to life. So I give the man a lot of credit. A lot of credit. And like I said, I hope he redoes that library, the old library, so we can see it. Have you ever been in the old library? Oh, you got to go in. See if you can go in.
Is it closed?
Yeah. They might let you go in. Can't hurt to try.
Totally.
Can't hurt to try.
That's right.
Yep. It's really a beautiful building. But like I said, you can see what the outside looks like, so the inside is just as bad. See, the library used to be owned by Hudson City School District. It was never owned by Hudson. And no longer, you know, Hudson School District doesn't own it. So that's kind of where it went better, I thought, once the school district gave it up. Because they really couldn't afford it. I went in the library not too long ago, and I think they did such a beautiful job. They really and truly did. You should go in some of the old churches, too. Some of the churches are absolutely gorgeous. I was born and raised in St. Mary's, and I never really realized the beauty of the building until I got older. It's absolutely just, it's a beautiful building. But Mark Carmel was also, that one's closed, but now the Ukrainians bought it, so they moved to Ukrainian churches, still Catholic, but somebody bought the old Sacred Heart on 2nd and Robinson Street, I think that is. And it's a home now, or an art studio. I've never seen the inside of that. It's for sale now, so I should probably make an appointment to go look at it to buy it, huh, just to see it. But that was also, they were all beautiful, beautiful, beautiful buildings with stained glass. And but St. Mary's is, to let you go in there and look. Oh, it's gorgeous. Absolutely beautiful, the stained glass. And I couldn't imagine what that building would cost to build today. But also the church here on 4th and Moore, right across the street. So beautiful buildings here. They're stained glass. I think their stained glass is just gorgeous. But you know, if you look through some of these homes in Hudson, they have a lot of stained glass. If you look, you got to really look, though. One of the doctors I worked with, she don't work with us anymore, but she still lives in Hudson, and she knew I love stained glass. And she did her own, and she would make frames like little window panes. And one hangs in my window. She gave it to me. She knew I loved it. Yeah, because she lives across the street from St. Mary's Church. And I used to say, oh, Dr. LaFleur, I love your stained glass. So when she left our hospital and she went to another hospital, she said that. She said, Sharon, I'm going to give you one. I said, you know, no, I want to give you one because you're the only one that always loved my stained glass. But, yeah, the churches are just absolutely beautiful buildings. And like I said, I can remember the synagogue on Warren Street, but now they're on Greenport. But they were on Warren Street for a lot of years. And now it's an apartment building. Yep. City Hall is also a beautiful building. Absolutely beautiful, all that marble. And it's really a beautiful building. And Hudson has the two oldest volunteer fire departments in New York State. Matter of fact, I think almost the whole country has volunteers. Yep. Edmonds always and Rogers always. That's another thing, we have all volunteers yet. All volunteer firemen. So that's saved our taxpayers a lot of money. Yeah. We have a great Salvation Army now. We never did. We never had soup kitchens before, but it's really well needed now, and I think that's become a very good thing for Hudson. I think it's helped the community a lot. Matter of fact, last year I volunteered down there and we did backpacks for the kids. And they really have done a lot for our community. And she makes you go back in time, too, thinking. The girl that runs it now, she was born and raised in Hudson, too, but she's not quite as old as us, but she can remember, you know, things back then, too, and she would talk about it. Because she also went to St. Mary's School for a while. And she talked about it with us. What else was I think? There's the Boys and Girls Club. That's been there for, I can't tell you how many years, I don't know. I mean, it was there when we were kids, so. Yeah, they had the Boys Club and Girls Club downtown, and then they had Blue Anchor uptown. See, we went to a private school, so we didn't go to Blue Anchor. We didn't go that much. My parents weren't. They were funny about that. They just, no, you're going to stay here and you're not going that far. But I'm trying to think of what else was in Hudson? I can remember as a kid the Pocketbook Factory getting robbed. They paid their employees in cash. Payrolls in cash. I can remember that. I was in high school. They robbed them. They think it was an inside job, but I can remember that. Yeah. And the other thing I feel, a lot of very professional people came out of our school, out of this area. They, doctors, lawyers, you name it, they've come out of Hudson City School District. So Hudson should be proud of that. They really and truly have a lot of educated people that move way on, so that I can say. They may not live around here now, but you know, they had to go where their jobs took them, but there's a lot of well-to-do people from out of, you know, like educated people that moved on, but a lot of people don't like our school and our county neither, but I think we have a good school. I do believe that. Then again, you can go anywhere and get an education if that's what you want. Let me think. I can remember the house Suzanne lives in. Our Hudson High coach, his son lived there. I can remember that for a long time. Yep. The Vertiguses. Just trying to think. Not much more I got to think about.
Well, I'm very moved hearing about this history of Hudson. I mean, it's very beautiful to hear from you, so thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah.
I just wish I could remember more for you.
I feel like you've really painted a beautiful portrait. I'm interested in this time when you're calling Hudson a ghost town. What did that feel like to live here during that time?
See, that's when my son was younger. So I was busy trying to raise my child, you know. My husband worked for what they call the Universal Match at the time, and it was a very well-paying job. And they were ready to close, and we're thinking, what's going to happen? That's when all the factories are starting to close. My son was born in 81, so it was like, that's when Hudson became a ghost town. But my husband was blessed, and New York State Corrections had a test coming up. He took it, and he got the job. He didn't work in this area for a long time. He had to travel for like 3 years, but we survived. And that's the only reason we stayed here, because if that didn't happen, we probably would not be here today, because there was no work. There was just no work. And I worked part-time, like I said, when he started in corrections at the hospital. And I worked at the hospital part-time because he wasn't working. He was laid off from the match factory. He did get called back eventually until they closed. And then he left just before they closed because corrections took him, and he left. But like I said, there was nothing here. Nothing. There was no factories, no nothing. And every one of them were closing one right after another, and that's when all the businesses started closing, because of course they couldn't stay here. They weren't working anything either. They couldn't survive. So, like I said, thank God for the Antique Association.
How was it socially as a community during that time?
It was very, very depressing to live here because there was no one left here. People, like I said, like myself, all of our friends started leaving because there was just nothing here. A lot of them, you know, went to Albany, or they moved completely out of the state. Back then, I think Texas was the booming back then, and a lot of people went out that way, and that's what happened. A lot of people joined the service and just never came back because there was just no other work. But my brothers and my husband were all very fortunate, and they went to work. Gadsden Corrections was starting to boom, and it was a good paying job, good benefits. So that's when they started, and we stayed here. Yep. And to this day, I try to buy in the county. To this day, I try. It don't always work, but I do try. I really and truly try, especially here in Hudson. I try to go to our little businesses first before I have to go out. That's right. I've always tried that. Because if we don't keep these little businesses going, they're going to be going right out with them. But it was, I could see how it became just a ghost town. And then when the antique dealer started, I can remember we had gone to the city for something. I don't even remember what show or something. And we were coming back in Penn Station, or Grand Central. We went through Grand Central. And there was a big sign up. Come to the biggest antique place there is, Hudson, New York. And we're like, what? It was so funny to see that. And that's how it really started. And the city people started coming up. And I don't know how long you've been here yet, but wait till the weekend start.
I was here last weekend.
Friday night, you come up Warren Street? We go to my son's every Friday night for dinner, like clockwork. And when we come home, we always come up 3rd Street, and up Warren Street we go home. And the cars are just everywhere, which I'm glad. I'm really glad. And so you're going to see that the weekends are just like crazy around here, which is good. I'm not saying that. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing.
Yeah.
And it's good to see. Yep. And I have the best neighbors now. As a matter of fact, they're getting ready to move again, but they're from the city. So a lot of people just come up here and have homes or apartments just for weekends. And that's okay, too. But you really can't. It's really busy here, I think, during the week, too, now. You know, I work during the day, but it does seem like it's crazy during the day. So Hudson's really coming back. It really is. Oh, another beautiful building is the courthouse over on 4th Street. That's absolutely gorgeous. They just redid that, but it's a beautiful building. We'll have to meet up and I'll have to take you all through, walk you up and down these streets.
It's almost like we could have done this as a walking interview and gotten a tour.
Yeah. Yep. But that's how it started. When I was talking to Suzanne, she said, how long have you lived here in Hudson, and I said, my whole life. That's how it really got started. And I said, the funny thing is, I said, a friend of mine and I just walked up and down Warren Street.
Mm.
And she said, oh, really? Matter of fact, they were going to try to interview her, but they couldn't get a hold of her today. So, but, yeah. And she was born and raised in Hudson, and she's in her 60s, so. She remembers it all. Yep, she remembers when Hudson became a ghost town, too. Yep. I really thought our hospital was going to close at one time. It was so, we didn't have hardly any patients anymore, it seemed like. But it all came back to life. Matter of fact, I've had a few patients say to me, I say, you know, for conversation, where are you from? Oh, I live in Manhattan. And I look at him, what are you doing here? Well, it's easier to come up here. It's just as easy to come up here and take the train. I get done when I have to get done and go on home. Like, okay. So. Another thing is we have a lot of salespeople that come into the hospital. Lots of them. And they have to stay. And where do you want to stay? Where should we go eat? So that's another thing we always send them to Hudson, Warren Street. Always. We've always done that. And I got to say that about the hospital, too. They really and truly keep this community. You know, like, we have something catered. It's always from somewhere in the county. Never outside. Never. And it's usually right from Hudson. It's not even. That's what they try to do. They always say they give to us. We got to give back, so. Maybe if more people would do that, I guess.
If you could put into words what this community feels like, how would you describe it?
Home. It's the only way I could describe it. It's home. You know, even the people that are not from here, they become very friendly. At first, they're not, but they do. They come around. And that's how I can say it. Like this man running the bed races. I've heard his name all over. And I thought, I don't know. He's from the city. And I thought, I don't know. I really don't know if I'm going to get a good vibe from this. Just my own feeling. Now that I get to know him, he is the most kindest person I've ever want to meet. And, you know, I asked him how he got here. And He really, I'm so glad I did this because I got to meet someone new, and he's such a nice person. He really is. And a lot of people had nothing nice to say about him because they don't like what he does and who he is and stuff like that. So I guess now, too, I have more of an open mind than I ever did in my life. Maybe because I'm getting older, I don't know. But I do have a very much open mind now. Yep. And he came up here on the train. That's how he started here. Came up on the train and just loved that little town and bought a house. He said, I didn't even have a driver's license. And up here you have to have a driver. You have to have a car. Not like them in the city. Yep. And that's why I think a lot of people come up here. That train drags them up here. Some of our physicians come up here to study. A couple of our anesthesiologists said they would take the train up and sit at the boat launch to study for their boards. It was so peaceful. And take the train back home. And they're working for her. They work here now. So, yep.
What do you think shifted in your life? Now you say you have a more open mind.
I think almost losing my grandchild. I really believe. I really believe that changed my whole life when he almost died on us. And it was the most heart-wrenching thing to see him fight for his life. And then I can still remember the nurse saying one day, this will be a figment of your imagination and your whole life will change. And I think he was right. My whole life did change after that. You know, before, like, my best friend's gay. And she's been gay her whole life. Her and her partner. But I never, like, worried about the gay community, but now I do. And I never would. Never would have. You know, I knew they always were, and I loved them to death, but now I really care about them. You know, one of my best friends, her son just came out, and he almost lost his family over it, and I think that woke me up, too. So just things like that. That's what I'm trying to say. I have a much more open mind now than ever in my whole life. You know, I feel that everyone is equal. I don't care if you're rich, poor, what color you are, who you love. You love them because you love them. And that's how I, you know, like, I never condemned anybody before, but I just never, I don't think I would have ever stood up for them. And I think now, today, I would definitely stand up for them. Definitely in 100, you know, definitely, I know I would. I just could not let somebody hurt somebody or trash somebody or, you know, I know I couldn't. No way. I think when you see somebody that you love so much going to lose their life, and I think it wakes people up. Woke me up. And it woke my husband up, I think. So I love our little community. I don't care who lives here. And our mayor's doing a very good job. I told you in the beginning, I wasn't too sure about her, but she's doing a good job.
Yeah, I got to get that on the record.
Yep. She's doing a very good job in the city. Mm-hmm. See, that's the other thing, too, that the mayor's always been somebody that was, you knew, and I just didn't know her. And that's the other thing I didn't want to, but now it's a different ballgame. See, my grandson's my life now, so he's my life. Yep. But I'm amazed how now I'd try to stand up for anybody. And before I would just probably mind my own business. That's probably what it really is more of, so. You know what I mean? I would just mind my own business, but that wouldn't be now me today. No way. I'd be standing right there with him. Right and wrong or indifferent. If somebody was harming them, I know I'd be right there for them. Even if I didn't know them. That I know I would. Yep. That's about it. I don't know anything else I could think of. But then you get me thinking. I think, too, in a little town like this, you see so many people you know die. That's another thing that's heartbreaking, I think. You know too many people when you open up the paper and you say, oh my God, I know all these people. And that's the other thing I think sad about living in a small community. You just, matter of fact, I just said the other day, we've been in this funeral parlor an awful lot lately. Tell we're getting older. That's another thing. We used to have more than one funeral parlor, too, and we don't have that no more, neither. Which is a good thing, but... That's another beautiful building across from the hospital. It's that big, it's yellow. It used to be a funeral parlor. Back in the day. But that's not been too long, though, since they switched it over to offices. That bit looks gorgeous, too. Absolutely beautiful inside and outside. It's a beautiful building. See, that's probably why I like Hudson, because it really does have beautiful architect. It really does. That it does. And I think our police department has changed a whole lot, too. You know, I think they do a lot more drug busts today. They don't play around people. They really and truly kick them to the curb now, I gotta say. Which is good. I think before, a lot of times, they just overlooked a lot of things, and they don't do that no more. They don't tolerate it. So I think that's a good thing.
Is there anything else that you want to add, thinking back what we've talked about, or anything else that you had thought about before you came into this room today?
No, I don't think so. I think we've about covered it all.
Well, I want to say this has been such a pleasure for me to get to meet you, and to meet you in this way that I get to hear about Hudson, I get to hear about your life, and memories and changes that you've gone through. It's just been very meaningful to me, so thank you.
Well, thank you. It was nice meeting you also.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
That's, no, you weren't.
Okay. So I want to do one more ID just at the end, so that we have it at the end, too. So, again, this is Sammy Sass, sitting in the Solaris building in Hudson. It's July, June 27th, 2016, and I'm sitting here with Sharon Rouse.
Yep.
And Sharon, can you introduce yourself?
My name is Sharon. My maiden name was Yates Rouse, and I live at 534 Washington Street, and I've lived here my whole entire life. Born and raised here. Born at CMH, and I guess I'm going to have to die there.
Beautiful. Well, thank you again, Sharon.
Thank you very much.